Side 6. Tool of the Trade by Joe Haldeman. Continuing on page 257. One advantage to being thin is that you can slip through crowds. It only took me a minute to make my way to the edge of the police line. Various people walked through the television lights, looking important. Then came Secretary Froelich, whom I recognized, and then the president, looking at the sidewalk with a sad smile. Behind him was a stranger. The stranger passed within 2 yards of me, looked straight into my face, and suddenly flinched and turned pale. It was Foley, by God! It didn't look like him, but who else could it be? I smiled and gave him a half-salute, then watched the back of his head as he followed Fitzpatrick to the limo. He looked back once, and I was still smiling. Let him fidget. I wasn't going to blow the whistle on him. Twice he spared me when he could have greatly simplified his life by killing me, at no danger to himself. Besides, it might work. His cockeyed scheme might work. Chapter 40. Nick. Epilogue. It was Valerie's idea. Where was the best hiding place for someone who could be history's richest and most powerful man, independent of any government? A haven of poverty and insignificance, of course, in the swollen heart of the bureaucracy itself, the Peace Corps. For 10 years, she and I toiled in the drought-scourged villages and farms of Rwanda, helping scrape irrigation systems out of the hard crust of the land, teaching English and numbers and our own version of the American way. She was in her natural element, helping people. For me, it was a long decade. As penance, though, I suppose it worked. The bad dream went away, and so did the killing. Though I don't think I would ever have tried to kill anyone without the watch. And it was in a safe deposit box on the other side of the world. Curiously, at the very end time of Valerie's fertility, she became pregnant. When she stopped menstruating, we thought it was menopause. It was Nick, Jr. She delivered him in an American hospital because of the possibility of complications, but we returned to Rwanda and raised Nicky in relative poverty. Being poor didn't impress him, of course, given his surroundings and companions, and we have tried to raise him in such a way that when he eventually finds out he has millions, that won't impress him either. I came back from Rwanda old and leathery but fit, weighing about what I did in basic training. We found a suburban community with good schools and bought a carefully modest house. I took one certificate of deposit out of the safe deposit box and spread it around several local banks. I took the watch out, put a fresh battery in it, and hilariously tested it on Valerie. Then I returned it to the box, along with the millions in CDs and securities that had grown from the cash left over from our second round of plastic surgery in Zacatecas. It looks as if this 21st century may turn out better than the previous one. The four largest nuclear powers playing a reverse Mexican standoff, just as Valerie had predicted. Usually it's France who ditches a warhead, just to make the others scramble. It's always a small warhead, but every year there are not quite as many bombs around as there were before. Of course, there are still wars, and rumors of war, and we may yet live to see nations consumed in nuclear fire. At least it won't be the whole planet burning, not so long as they follow the rules of the game. But treaties are only promises, and promises are only as good as the people who make them. The warhead factories can be started up as quickly as they were shut down. This boy of mine is 12 years old. He speaks Russian and French, as well as his native English and Swahili, and he keeps the ability secret. His childhood tempered with poverty, he owes allegiance to no god or country or culture. He doesn't even think of himself as white. Most people get a watch when they retire. He'll get his when I think he's ready to start work. and of Tool of the Trade by Joe Haldeman. Narrated by Ken Kleiben in the studios of American Foundation for the Blind, Incorporated, for the Library of Congress, July 1988. For special distribution as authorized by Act of Congress under Public Law 89-522, with the permission of the copyright holder and the publisher, William Morrow & Company, Incorporated, 105 Madison Avenue, New York, New York, 10016. If you experienced any difficulty with this recording, please tie a piece of string around one of the container straps or latches before returning it. Place the defective recording in the container, braille side down, for identification.